Are you angry? No, really. Has that one person got you fuming? Well, call them out. Now's your chance to tell them.
You know what? You just made the list.
You just made the list.
Here we go.
Let us know who's on your list. Call 615-737-1025. You just made the list. Now, on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
All right, it's that time. It's time for you to release and feel good going into the weekend. It's time for you to get something off your chest. It's called therapy time. Here on Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Friday afternoon. You know something has made you mad. You know someone has made you mad. Tell us about it. 615-737-1025. You must participate to win this $25 gift card at Nashville Underground. 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tell us who or what has made you mad. Do you want to start or do you want me to start?
I'll start.
Okay.
As you know, Darren, I watch a lot of baseball. Big fan of the game, as you are.
Did you see Mookie Betts get popped at third base?
No,
I did not. The other day?
I've been watching a lot of their games, though. I enjoy the Dodger broadcasts. I've been watching because there's so many ties to Nashville on that team, and obviously they're the world champs. So,
well, he got tagged
good
in the
late
wrong
night
place.
TV.
He fell down and
oh, he did.
May have had a high voice for a little bit.
No, oof,
yeah, it was
okay.
Bad. It was hard to watch. Makes you cringe.
On the list for me, the wristbands that guys are wearing that have all the signs on there or whatever code is happening from the dugout to get the signs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tired of that.
Okay.
Let's just figure something out, man. Just get the signs or call the game yourself. I saw a guy, there was a funny moment last night. Jesus Aguilar saw a player for Arizona, Tim LoCastro, was on first base. He got a hit. He had one of these wristbands on. And Jesus Aguilar at first base just messing around with him, tried to open up the wristband and read the signs. You know, like, hey, I'm stealing your signs by just looking at your wristband. And LoCastro pulled away. And he's like, what are you doing, man? You know, they had a good laugh. Aguilar is kind of a prankster. But it just like, come on. Is this baseball cannot be this mechanical. Like, let's have a little bit more of spontaneity. Call the stuff from the dugout. But what really gets to me is the pitcher and the catcher and getting the call from the dugout. And this is more in the college game, but it's happening in the big leagues as well. But I saw a college pitcher pitching against Vanderbilt the other day for Alabama. He had a wristband. It looked. Remember the character, Darren, you're old enough to remember this cartoon character, Space Ghost? You ever
Space
see Space Ghost?
Oh, I don't remember that one. Space Ghost?
Well, he had these wristbands on that went all the way up his arm, almost to his elbow, and he had all these buttons on there that he could hit, and he had all these special powers. We thought it was really cool. Like, if you hit one button, it would be like a heat ray, and then another one would be like a laser beam, another one would be a super cold ray. But this pitcher is pitching. He's got his glove on, and he's got this huge armband with all these colors and squares and check marks, and he's looking at it for every pitch from the dugout. I guess the idea is instead of going coach to catcher to pitcher, the coach gives one sign, and the catcher and the pitcher both see it. It's like, dude, just call it, educate your catcher on the other team's hitters and call the game. And it's everybody, right? Vanderbilt does it now by they have a microphone, or not a microphone, they have a speaker in the catcher's helmet. And the pitching coach calls
into a
little walkie-talkie the pitch. Can't we just do it the way we've done it for a century? Just call the game.
People steal them.
I don't even think it's that. It's like they don't trust that the pitcher and the catcher can get it, just figure it out.
Is it they don't trust that, or they don't trust the other side?
Well, it's probably a little bit of both. But I'm just tired, man. Let's keep the game moving. Just call the game. Let's have some fun. Figure it out.
Okay.
I don't like the high-tech, color-coded, you know, I don't know where they get this code. I don't know if they get some computer nerd to say, okay, they're never going to crack this code if we have this wristband that goes up your arm. And a yellow means fastball, or blue means curveball. I don't know how they do it. I can't relate.
Okay.
I used to just look at the catcher, and he gives me the sign. We had a little code. The guy on second base, we had our way of keeping him from getting the sign. It's okay.
Made the list.
Okay. Yeah.
Mine's pretty simple. I mean, we've had some really weird stuff going on this week with gas in this area. I wasn't aware of it until I was made aware of it by seeing it, and I'm like, what the heck's going on? And then I started looking into the story. It went, you know, driving by, and you see 25 cars deep into gas stations, and I'm like, you know, gas prices keep going up and up and up and up, and I'm like, why are people so urgent to get gas? I think gas prices are ridiculous right now. Why are they lining up all the way down the road? Because I didn't know what was going on. Obviously, I figured it out. But since then, that we've learned even more, like the pure panic in people and
the pictures
that we've seen. It's like, you know, we all had flashbacks, right? We all thought the same thing. Like this was toilet paper 2021, right? This
gas
had become toilet paper 2021. And you shake your head and you just realize like that there are people that did not learn from TP 2020, right? Toilet paper 2020, watching all these people buy toilet paper that are good until 2028 now, like their house in the attic, in the basement, and on the shelves. Like they've got toilet paper till 2028. Good for you. I hope it, you know, somehow molds and goes bad before you get to use it.
Because right next shame to the Lysol that they've got.
Right, and the wipes and everything else that you hoarded back then. Like, these people showing up to gas stations with gas cans in their, you know, the entire bed of their the bed of their pickup truck and filling them up. It just, you've got to be kidding me, right? Like, this is, you really, you're that selfish? Like, we all know now why they did that on the Titanic. Like, we all know, like, in the movie, why you had, you know, him trying to sneak into the women and children only raft. It's like, we know if we were all on that boat, there would be plenty of other people that would be trying to sneak into the women and children raft. I mean, it's like, really? Like, did you not learn from last year? Like, you're really going to do, like, I would never, even if you gave me the opportunity, like, hey, just so you know, like, right here, like, I'll give you this stuff. Like, plastic bags, people are filling up plastic bags. Like, I would never do that. I would just run out. Like, I'd ride a bike before I would do something like that. Like, I think the fact that we just did this a year ago, and remember the story in Chattanooga? Remember, it was some two young guys. Remember, they went and they cleaned everything out. What was it? Was it toilet paper or
was it hand sanitizer?
Hand sanitizer. And what happened is they got busted, and they were forced to give it all back, right? And they took a loss. They bought all this stuff. It's like, did we not learn from all this stuff? Like, especially the worst are the people that are doing it to then try to resell it and make money. It's like, oh my gosh, facepalm emoji. Like, really? So we've all seen the pictures now. For those people that were putting gas in paper in bags or had, you know, gas cans in the entire bed of the truck, like 20 gas cans, and they're filling them up, you definitely.
You just made the list.
I mean, definitely. Like, come on. And I can't imagine if people saw that at the gas station, that they all remained quiet and nobody said anything. Like, that would be...
It's so annoying. It's like when the threat of a snowstorm comes in and everybody cleans out the grocery store shelves and then it doesn't turn into anything bad. And you're like, why? Why?
Just stop
doing
that.
But it's just like, it's one thing if you need gas.
Hey, right. So I went and I filled up. That's it. I filled up. Okay.
But if you have 3/4 of a tank and you see this, oh my gosh, we got a problem. We might have a problem with gas. And you're that guy that's going to the line to top off your tank when you already have 3/4 and you got another 6 or 7 days for it to shake out. That's where the problem starts. Or like the guys you're talking about filling up their little personal gas emergency can or their plastic bags or whatever.
And not just one. Like,
come on.
You know, 8, 10,
12. That's what
12.
Creates the problem.
Come on.
The problem doesn't really even create the problem. It's that what creates the problem.
Yes.
It's the reaction.
That's correct.
Oh, man.
The plastic bags kill me. Like, what are you going to do when you put that in your car? Are you just going to sit it in, like, the seat? Like, It's going to spill out everywhere.
All right. Do you have someone designated? You're going to smell like gas for a week, and you don't like that. You don't want that.
Yeah. Do you have someone designated in your car to hold it? Say, all right, I'm going to get like 3 Kroger bags of gasoline. I need you to hold this in the back seat. And then who agrees to that, too? Like, I don't know. There's so many layers to that. I have more questions than answers.
Yeah. Good point. 615-737-1025. Let's start things off with Tony on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tony, who or what is on your list?
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and both of y'all's are, I'm with you right there on both of them 100%. However, mine is, I don't know, I've got a multiple list. They all pertain to people in my neighborhood and subdivision. I don't know if I want to go with the lady who puts on the Facebook page asking, was it too late to cut your yard at 7:15? I don't know if I want to go with the people who continually let their dogs run freely through everybody's yard as they walk behind them. But I think I'm going to go with the lady who, as I was trying to cook out the other night and enjoy the evening on my patio, she is standing about 10 feet from me. Where she popped up from, I do not know. But she was hollering for her daughter to come home. Her daughter was playing in the next-door neighbor's yard on to the other side of my house. Now, this lady has walked down the street in an apron. She had an apron on. And she's walked down the street, veered to the right of my house to a lot to turn around and holler back to her daughter 2 yards away to come home. She could have, before she got to my house, could have turned left, walked down the sidewalk, walked to the neighbor's yard, and asked them right there for her to come home. But she chose to come to my house right here beside me as I'm cooking out, trying to enjoy the evening. She and then proceeds to go right through my yard to go get her daughter. And if that's not enough, the next day her husband did it. And that's when I had to voice my opinion.
You're getting
about
to know these people really well.
My privacy.
Was he wearing an apron?
He was not, but he was barefooted, and he had a Muscle Man T-shirt on. So it's pretty sickening either way.
Sun's out, guns out.
And so what did you say?
He was already trying to get a tan or what? But it's pretty disturbing to have these knuckleheads want to walk through your yard while you're trying to enjoy your evening on your patio. And they just seem to ignore you and try to block you out like you're never there. They're not going to see me.
Did you say something to them?
I did to both of them, yes, sir. And particularly him. I said, your wife just did this yesterday. I said, I don't understand why you people have to come through my yard to go get your daughter next door when he said, well, yeah, that's what you get living on a corner. I said, well, that's what you seem to not understand why they made sidewalks. We're in subdivision. We don't have half acre and three quarter lots anymore. All these subdivisions, you're on like a quarter of an acre or less. And that's why they put sidewalks in so people can walk the sidewalk and go door to door. And I did say that to him. So, yes, he and she just made the list.
You just made the list.
All right, good stuff. Hope you feel better.
I feel better.
Good.
Thank you, guys.
you should get that off your chest. That's a little bit annoying. I could see that. Let's go to Nate. Nate, who or what is on your list?
The same people you were talking about, Darren, are on my list, but I'm going to take you a step further. I don't know why people think a cloth bag will hold gasoline. It will just soak into it. My mom told me people were filling cloth bags, and I was like, is that spilling out everywhere? And on top of that, people blaming the news, basically saying they're a scare tactic. Why, yes, I agree to an extent. That's sometimes what they are. But the majority of the time, they are just trying to inform us what might happen so we aren't caught off guard. But when everybody thinks it's a scare tactic, we all freak out and just go bananas.
Yeah, it's crazy. Nate, thank you. I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Well, I'm with you on the cloth bag. The other night, I'm not kidding. This was, I don't know, probably 2-3 nights ago. There's a middle lane, right? We've all driven on the roads. There's a middle lane, okay? There was a gas station that had, I'm not kidding, it was probably 25 deep, hanging out, coming out of the gas station and onto the road, where there were probably, I don't know, at least a dozen cars on the road just sitting.
Just trying to get into
I had
the
to, just right, just had to, wait, waiting to get into. I had to drive down the middle lane and just go by, because I wasn't going to sit there. I wasn't going to go into that nonsense. Drive down the middle lane past 12, 15 cars that are out on the road just sitting to get gas.
Now, how many of those 12 do you think really urgently need gas?
I would love to know.
Yeah.
I would love to know. I don't have the answer. I didn't stop and do a survey. Okay. I just shook my head while driving
by. That
would
have been interesting,
really?
Go down the middle lane to stop. Where's your fuel gauge at right now?
Is your gas light on or off?
Yeah.
On or off? I would say we probably know the answer, right?
Let's go.
Let's go out to Dixon. Vincent, who or what is on your list?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Okay, I've got one that made the list and then a quick solution to the list.
Okay.
The guy that made my list, same thing, gas related. Saw this guy on the news that was saying, well, I heard they might be running out of gas, so I went and filled up all of my vehicles and all of my gas cans. And when I drove by the next day, sure enough, they were out of gas. And I thought, well, no kidding you, dummy. But the solution to this list, I saw a comedian years ago, and I don't recall who it was, that said everybody ought to be allowed to kill two people a year, maximum. No more, just two.
What?
And he said, then you would get rid of all the idiots pretty quickly. Secondly, before you go wising off to somebody, you don't know if he's reached his two people limit or not. So you would approach that person a lot differently. Anyway, that guy made the list, and I hope you all have a wonderful day.
Is this like hunting? Do you have to tag him? Do you get two tags a year?
I don't know. I don't know if you get a punch card or what, but he just said, two people limit, that's it, no more. And but before I go wising off to somebody, I got to think, did this guy already have his two for the year? Or am I going to be the second one? So, I just thought that would solve a whole lot of problems. So, all right, gentlemen.
Well, yeah. Darren, we are always looking for solutions
I don't think I'm going to endorse that, but it did make me laugh. Yes. I'd like to know the comedian. I'd like to see that bit, just to see how they presented it. Did you see the guy at the Padres game who got knocked out?
Oh, my goodness. The Padres fan, that was on the road. That right? He was.
Was that on the road?
I think that was Coors, because he threw that punch.
Yeah.
And
that
he
was
got
in Denver.
Bombarded
okay.
on, yeah. He threw that one punch and then backed up and then didn't offer any resistance to the people that mobbed him afterwards.
Boy, he did get mobbed. Man, he went right up to that guy. I have no idea what was going on. And he just, as they said in the movie Friday, you got knocked, you know what, out. Because that guy just face planted to the next row.
He did. But he was out cold. This is a fascinating clip. Like, we don't endorse any of this. Like, you would hate to see this. But the guy who got hit, I don't think he's ever been taught like how to protect himself. Like, he just absolutely stood there like a tackling dummy.
Just took it.
He did not react at all.
Never even flinched. And you could see the guy was what he was coming to do.
Yeah, the Padres guy walks up from about, a whole section away. And he walks up to him. He's got a loud Padres jersey on.
Very loud.
He comes with a roundhouse right. It's not like a jab, like he was caught off guard. Like, he winds up and throws a guy doesn't react at all. He just takes it right on the kisser.
Never moved. never flinched. Never moved. Nothing. Didn't try to protect.
He went down hard.
He went down hard.
It was a one-punch knockout, and then there was a response.
There's no way he knew what city he woke up in. No way.
He might have been in San Diego for all he knew.
Interesting tidbit there, though. I saw a tweet from the Denver Police Department about that, saying that the man who got hit did not press charges, chose not to press charges.
Wow.
So there might have been a history there.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
Let's go to Garland. Who or what is on your list?
Well, I had to get gas the other night because my car was eating. I was going to go to the gym. So after waiting 20 minutes in the line, like every other person, get to the gym, and this is a person who walks into the gym in front of you. They go to the bench, and they put their cell phone, their water bottle, their jacket, their protein shake all on the bench, but then proceed to go and work out with every other piece of equipment except for the bench. So that person's on my list.
So they use the bench as their personalized locker?
Pretty much their table, pretty much everything. I was waiting for, you know, to break out a box lunch or something.
What? That, there is gym etiquette. I don't believe that is gym etiquette.
No, no, there's more than that. Yeah, that's between the weight hoggers that stand in front of the bench, like 2 inches from the or the weight rack, 2 inches from the mirror. That's the biggest one when they take up the bench for 20 minutes and don't even use it.
That is a bummer.
Wow, that's a, that's
they got their towel on there.
Definitely.
They got their drink on there, and it's just
oh, the jacket, the purse, their watch, whatever they can put on there.
That person is definitely on the list.
You just made the list.
That's a no-go. That's a no-go.
Definitely a no-go.
I don't care how many benches are available. You just don't do that.
It's the only flat bench they have, and that one gets taken up. I was like, wow.
Now, what kind of guy? What kind of guy does that? Like, there's only one bench in there, and you know you're taking up the one bench that's in there. That is brutal.
Let's say there was a purse on the bench.
I mean, I've got to be honest. I kind of feel like this is going back to the previous caller. This might have, you know, this comedian. This he may have. That may be the kind of people that they're talking about for this bit, this joke. Garland, thank you. Hope you feel better. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely qualifies. That's a no-go. Come on. That's called common sense.
Yes, come on.
Like, do we really even need to talk about that? That's common sense. Like, why would you do that?
It's no awareness.
Take up
no
a awareness. Bench at a gym?
The only bench.
With all your stuff, the only bench, so you can go walk around and go do your other workouts? What?
That's not good.
By the way, do they not have lockers? Is there not a locker room at this place where you can actually put that stuff?
That's not good.
Oh, all right, Willie, tell us about loans and do it pronto.
All right, time for some loan pronto info. And, of course, hey, we're getting into a fun time, right? Things are starting to open up, businesses going. You might have been sort of on hold with everything you're doing the last year, and that's fine. But let me tell you that Loan Pronto wants you to know that home loan rates are incredible right now. They're incredible. They're down. That's all the more reason to call Loan Pronto now. Get your new home loan. Lock in the rate of your lifetime. It might be the best you've ever had. You're going to save money on that monthly payment. If you call now and take advantage of the Loan Pronto special zero-cost refi program, you can snag that super low rate. But here is where Loan Pronto separates themselves. No junk fees, no closing costs. Well, you might hear that from other companies, but they don't just roll in closing costs to your loan. They cover the closing costs for you. That's what separates them. Even if you refinanced last month, last year, you can do it again. You might even get a better rate. You need to call right now to find out more. 499-5780. That's 615-499-5780. Or go to loanpronto.com. Ask about how easy it is now to get cash out of your home's equity. If that's what you want to do, you can reinvest that in a home improvement project or pay off some debt. Whatever you need, it's available to you if you call 615-499-5780 or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender. NMLS 1661781, subject to lender approval. No cash refi, not available on all loans.
Don't forget, 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen, Saturday, that's tomorrow, as Nashville SC hits the road to take on Real Salt Lake. Pregame begins at 8:15 p.m. The match starts at 8:30. Remember, that's on 94.9. That is tomorrow night. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, Darren McFarland, Willie Donick. Here with you on this Friday afternoon. Gorgeous, gorgeous day here as we get a little bit closer to the weekend. And with all that being said, it is time to, by the way, we're going to talk to Dan Rosen coming up at 1 o'clock, but it is time to make our predictions because, Willie, round one begins tomorrow. And so we have to do it today. There's going to be playoff games this weekend. Tomorrow, I think there's just one game tomorrow, right? The Bruins and Capitals, and then I think three games on Sunday, I think that's right, including the one in the Central, Florida and Tampa, do get started on Sunday night. So we must make our predictions for round one like we did, and we'll just take it round by round. Look, we've learned you got to do it round by round because it's hard to predict the Stanley Cup playoffs. Very, very hard. Elijah, we're going to get you to jump in here as well with your picks. But let's start with the Capitals and the Bruins, which I think is – do we have Chase's picks, by the way?
I do not have the picks just yet.
I don't either. I think he's on a plane. I called him during the break, and it went straight to voicemail, so that tells me he's in the air. So let's start with that Capitals-Bruins matchup, which does kind of get things started. That is the 2-3 matchup from the East, which I think is fascinating. Of course, Chara going up against his former team. He spent all the years in Boston. I think it's a really intriguing matchup. What say you? The series starts in Washington. That'll be tomorrow night. So the first Stanley Cup playoff game beginning tomorrow night. It'll be Washington hosting the Bruins. Who wins that series?
I am going to go with the Bruins. I think the addition of Taylor Hall has helped give them what their biggest weakness has been, and that is the secondary scoring. I would love to see the Capitals do well. I'm a big fan of Peter Laviolette, but I just feel like the Bruins have the formula right now. I'm going to go with them.
Okay.
Hoping to be wrong.
I, too, am going with the Bruins. Kind of some things that you stated. Taylor Hall has been a great acquisition there at the trade deadline. He has fit in nicely. Maybe that was him saying, you know, it's nice to be on a really good team for a change. But he is just fit in. It's worked out. I'll be curious to see what his offseason looks like. The Capitals are dealing with some COVID protocols. They're dealing with some injuries. You know, what's the status on TJ Oshie? He's kind of important.
They got issues.
What's the status with John Carlson? He's kind of important. I mean, they got some key guys. By the way, Ovechkin, it doesn't seem like he's fully healthy. I just think the Capitals have some issues going on that I'm just not sure, without being there, without covering them, I don't know how serious it is or isn't, but they've got injuries and some things going on to key guys that I'm not sure how that's going to play out in the series. I like the way Boston's played here of late, so I'm going to go with the Bruins.
All right, we agree.
Elijah, who do you have?
I think it's going to be a clean sweep here. I love the Bruins here. I think they have the better power play unit. I think they're deeper. Like Willie, I think the Adam Hall, Taylor Hall. Well, not Adam Hall. But,
Adam Hall was a good guy, too.
But. Good fella, and would have helped them a lot, but for depth. But the Taylor Hall addition midseason was fantastic. I think they have the goalie advantage, too, in the playoffs that can go a long way.
They do.
And even the backups, a couple of the guys playing behind Rask has played really well this year, too.
Washington's going with a rookie, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, he could either do what Matt Murray did and take him all the way, or it could be pretty bad. I mean, that's a rookie goalie in his first playoff series playing this Boston Bruins team with that power play unit. Pretty good. I'm going to have to give the advantage to the Bruins here.
Remember, Rask did not play in the return to play, which really hampered Boston.
He did, and then he left.
Remember? Well, that's true. You're right.
And that was a big deal. That was.
He started off and then left. Right. Left them high and dry, and they basically collapsed after that. So he's an important piece. That's another thing. He's in there, and so I think the Bruins take care of business. Okay, another one that comes out of that division. That division was really interesting this year, the East. Pittsburgh was the one. Islanders were the four. They will play on Sunday afternoon. I think that's the early game on Sunday. Islanders, Penguins. Penguins will start off hosting that series. They are the one seed. What do you got, Willie?
Well, I cannot separate my feelings for the two teams. It's hard for me to do it. But if I did, I still think I would go Islanders because, A, they've just had a lot of success against the Penguins in the playoffs here recently. And they just have a playoff formula that is successful, right? We saw it last year in the bubble. The way the Islanders play is just really frustrating. They play it well. Now, they've got a young goalie, too, that they're going to lean on, I believe. But, man, he has been great. And if they don't have him, Varlamov has been incredible. So I don't know which guy they're even going to go with, but they've gotten tremendous goaltending. So I go Islanders.
Well, we have our first difference, and I begrudgingly say this because it is painful to say this. But, I've been waiting for this Pittsburgh window to close, and I don't know when it's closing. This is now, is this 16 years in a row or is it 17? I think it's 16 years or is it 17 years in a row? I think it's 16. 16 consecutive years in the playoffs.
I thought it was 14, no?
I think it's more
than
14.
Is it that much?
Okay. Yeah,
whatever it is, it's long.
It's 15 or 16. I just keep waiting for it to close, and it doesn't look like it's closing this year, especially in the first round. Obviously I'm not rooting for them. I'm rooting for Barry Trotz and the Islanders. But I think Pittsburgh's got too much firepower. They've played really well this year. I did not see this coming. I did not see them taking that division. I did not see them having this type of season, this, you know, good of a season. 77 points is what they finished with. And I think they get it done. So I'm going to take the Penguins.
It's a good call. I, too, will go with the Penguins. And also, begrudgingly.
I'm taking an SOS pad to my tongue right now, giving me a good scrape, good wash. It's just gross to say it. But I think we're picking who we think are going to win. So I think the Penguins are going to win. So you think Pittsburgh as well?
Yeah, I take no pride in it either. It's gross. But I think Pittsburgh will win. Even though I think there's a good – I think Willie mapped out a good avenue for the Islanders to pull off the upset, and that's Varlamov. He's been incredible this year. I don't know if he led the league in shutouts or not, but he's up there.
He finished strong, too.
He finished really strong.
Lights out down the stretch.
Started strong and finished strong. But that's the key to them pulling off this upset. But Crosby's looked like he's, you know, his old self, too. And this Penguins team, especially after how they flamed out last year, it's hard to see them doing it 2 years in a row. So I'll play the percentages here. I'll go Pens.
Yeah, and really, 3 years ago, right? Because the year before, the Islanders, didn't they sweep them in the first round? That was the year before, right?
And it wasn't close. Yeah.
Yeah, it was decisive.
Okay. We shall see. Let's go to the second game on Sunday, and it'll be coming out of the West Division. And the second game is going to be the 2-3 matchup, Vegas and Minnesota. Vegas, of course, is the 2 seed. Minnesota is the 3 seed. We were talking about Minnesota's season. They overachieved. They were kind of the Florida Panthers of that division. People thought that there was a real shot they could be a playoff team, but they exceeded all expectations, just like the Panthers. Now they have their hands full with the Vegas Golden Knights. I will start there, and I just think Vegas has got way too much firepower. And Minnesota's got all the playoff demons. Vegas does not. They've had success. They have a loaded roster. And I just think this is pretty easy. I'm going to take the Golden Knights.
It's really hard to give you an intelligent pick here in that I just, to be honest, I don't know about you, Darren, but like late night baseball after a night where, say, the Predators play at 6 or 7 o'clock, easier for me to unwind to that. After like an intense NHL game involving the Predators, I just have not had as much of the stomach to flip on a West Coast, you know, a Western Western Division game. So I just admit I haven't watched closely other than highlights. I've seen all kinds of highlights of both teams, and I know how good Vegas and Minnesota are. But the matchups, I just have a tough vision. They've had some interesting games between the two of them. Something is telling me to pick Minnesota here. I'm gonna take the Wild.
Are you really?
The playoff demons. Wow. Nick Bonino is not part of the playoff demons, right? Kirill Kaprizov is not part of the playoff demons. Cam Talbot, not part of the playoff demons. Matt Zuccarello, for the most part, not part of their playoff demons. So they've changed their look. And I just think I don't know. Vegas is really, really good. They're a machine. But stuff happens. Upset's going to happen somewhere. I'm gonna take a flyer on the Wild.
Well, Philadelphia's not in it, so.
Yeah, no flyers in the playoffs.
Save your flyers.
Okay.
You're going to go – okay, that's – Good for you. That's a gutsy pick. I do not see that one happening. If you win that one, full marks. I should probably give you double points for that. I just don't see that. I know it's the 2-3, but I don't see it. All right, what do you got?
I'll go on the other end of the spectrum here. I say Knights in four. I think it's going to be a sweep, mostly because playoff experience too. Four of the five leading scorers for this Minnesota Wild team in points are under the age of 25. So not only are they not part of the Minnesota Wild playoff demons, they're not much a part of Minnesota Wild's anything other than this year being four of their top five scorers. I think the Knights have a huge mismatch in the goalie department too. Talbot hasn't been bad. This year's been pretty good, actually. And I think it's impressive what they've done to even get to this three seed, because I thought they were going to be horrific this year. But just the fact that they are where they are is a pretty important accomplishment in itself. But the Knights are too good. Marc-Andre Fleury is too good. I think it's and then if Fleury struggles, they have Robin Lehner as a backup. So
yeah.
There's not a team in this that has the goalie depth Vegas does. They're
loaded.
Absolutely loaded. I think the Knights win in four.
Petrangelo, I mean, they're just loaded.
They're loaded. And that's a good point by Elijah. Minnesota is going to lean heavily on Kevin Fiala, Joel Eriksson Ek, Kirill Kaprizov, very, very young guys, right? Who, you know, are they going to get schooled in the playoffs, or are they going to, you know, take their game to another level in the playoffs? That might be the story of the series there.
Whole lot of young dudes there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, like I said, you will get full marks if that one. I don't even see that one being really a series, but that's what's fun about the Stanley Cup playoffs. All right, we'll come back. We'll make the rest of the predictions on the other side. We'll start off with a tough one in the Central with the Panthers and the Lightning. But right now I want to talk to you about my friends over at Cool Springs MD. Yeah, Dr. Jeffrey Lodge, the board-certified physician, his wife Daphne Lodge, the registered nurse, and their experienced staff would love to help you in a variety of ways. They've been helping me improve my quality of life. They'd love to make you healthier and happier. And as we all get older, it gets tougher as we age, and they do a lot of things under one roof. It's a state-of-the-art facility there in Cool Springs at 1642 Westgate Circle. If you don't believe me, go see it for yourself. They do a lot of things, including weight loss management. Maybe you've tacked on some unwanted pounds, which I think we've all experienced at some point in our adult life. Well, they got programs and products and people that can get you going back in the right direction. Rejuvenation. Your appearance should always be important, and sometimes it gets harder as we age. Well, you can sit down with their staff and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, they do it all, and hormone therapy. Maybe you haven't been feeling yourself lately, been feeling a little bit off, haven't had any energy or any drive, or just know that you don't feel like yourself or experiencing some mood swings. Get your levels checked. They may have dipped. They may have dipped to an all-time low, which would affect you in some or all of these categories. And you can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen, with them along with other things. Look, if you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation with these folks, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. You can always learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Dan Rosen coming up at 1 o'clock here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We continue on with our predictions. Round one, Stanley Cup playoffs. Bruins, Capitals get things started tomorrow night. I went with Boston. Willie went with Boston. Elijah went with Boston. So a clean sweep on the Bruins over the Capitals in that one. Pittsburgh and the Islanders. I went with Pittsburgh. Willie went with the Islanders. Elijah went with the Penguins. And then we got into the West with Minnesota and Vegas. Myself and Elijah took Vegas pretty easily. Willie going outside the box, picking an upset. Minnesota Wild to get it done in that one. So now we begin back here in the Central, and we talk about this Florida Panthers-Tampa Bay Lightning series that begins Sunday night down in Sunrise. I think it's an intriguing one. Willie has kind of inspired me with this Minnesota pick, even though I think he's crazy for taking the Wild over Vegas. Am I crazy to take the Panthers over the Lightning? I really want to pull the trigger on the Panthers over the Lightning. I really do. But I'm not sure I have the guts to do it. And with that being said, I'm going to take the Lightning. I don't know. This is probably
You wanted to go Florida.
I need an upset in there. And maybe I should change my mind.
And is it really a big upset? It wouldn't be that big of an upset based on the regular season performance.
Especially this past week.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe it.
I think this is I'm going to take I don't know. I got to be careful not to take too many upsets here, but to me, the best time to beat the Lightning might be the first round.
I understand.
Because of Stamkos and Kucherov trying to get reacclimated. And Florida, boy, they're coming in with momentum. They're hungry.
Stamkos hasn't played in like 5 weeks.
The only thing that really concerns me for Florida is the goaltending. You know, who is it? Are they going to get the peak performance? Are they going to have some indecision during the playoffs? And that's where Tampa, they can get by not playing the greatest game because they have Vasilevsky, who can just bail you out. That's why I'm really hesitant.
I'm going to take Tampa reluctantly.
Okay.
I should take Florida, but
I think it's a great opportunity for Florida. But that being said, I just cannot pick against Tampa. I can't do it. The other thing is Hedman's not 100%. That's another thing. He's been putting off a surgery that he'll have to have in the offseason. So he's not full bore. Like, there's a lot of things to the top players of Tampa that create issues.
Mm-hmm.
But they have Vasilevsky. I'm trying to convince myself to take Florida. I want to do it.
So it's just me, huh?
I didn't do it.
So you're taking Florida, Elijah?
Are you going to take Florida?
It's going to be me.
I think somebody's got to do it, just so one of us is right.
I jotted it down during the break. I mean, I've fallen in love with this Florida Panthers team all year long. That speed kills. And there's no one that's been able to tattoo Andre Vasilevsky like the Florida Panthers have this season. I mean, Vasilevsky's been lights out, and it almost feels like the Panthers have figured him out a little bit. And, I mean, even after, I thought they might have been done after the Ekblad injury, but they've just gotten better. This team, like I think they're a legit sleeper to win this whole thing, the way they've played. I mean, if they can get the goaltending right, they can get, you know, Big Bob at his best. This team is dangerous.
See,
I got Panthers in seven. That's the big question mark. But
how much of a chance will Bob get? I don't know if they've named him for the first game starter or not, but to me, and this is solely based on how he's played against Nashville, Bob has not been good at all against Nashville.
Yeah, he struggled a lot this year. I mean, goalie hasn't been their strength.
Yes.
They're going to need
played him. I mean, flat out.
They're going to need one of the other guys to help out. But I don't know. I've loved this Panthers team all year long. I love Jonathan Huberdeau. So I'm feeling it. I'm feeling the Panthers.
All right. Elijah, we'll stay with you. How about the Blues and the Avs? Of course, Colorado, congratulations to them. They just won the President's Trophy, which means they collected more points than anybody else in the regular season. So they are the league's top team. It's the third time they've done it in franchise history. So they will start off at home hosting the Blues. Who do you have?
I think I'm going to go with the Avs here. I think they're going to do it in five. I'll give the Blues a courtesy win out of respect and because we forgot they existed early in the show this week. But I'll go Avs.
Chase.
Yeah, exactly. Chase forgot they existed this week, so I'll throw him a bone here. I'll give them a courtesy win in game four to avoid a sweep.
Chase, somewhere in his mind, like sent back a Terminator to take out the Blues before they ever existed. You know, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, he went back and I don't know what happened there, but I don't see the Blues in this one. They have not been right all year. They're fortunate to be in the playoffs. Honestly, I think this is what I thought might happen in the Central at a certain point of the season where nobody was playing great, nobody was impressive in the fourth position. But Nashville has had to be pretty impressive to get to fourth. When you look at the Blues, they really haven't. Like they withstood, quote unquote, a challenge from the Coyotes and the Kings, and like somebody had to finish fourth, right?
Someone had to.
Well,
someone had to. And
to their
credit, they just haven't been that great.
Look, since they've won the Stanley Cup, they lost a lot of key guys. I mean, really key guys. And so what did you expect? I mean, you lose key guys. By the way,
Petrangelo being one of them.
Vegas is responsible for a lot, you know, several of them, or at least initially. I mean, how did you not think it wasn't going to catch up to them, right?
So I mean, Maroon
was
Colorado.
On that team that won, and then he was on Tampa last year who won. You know, you've got Petrangelo is gone. Sassany's gone. I mean, those are pretty – Tarasenko missed – you know, he's missed a bunch of time. I mean, how did we not think that this wasn't – and Bennington, you know, it was great. It was a great story then. Right. It was a great story then, but I don't think we view him the same today as we did, obviously, that year. So I think it's this one's pretty quick.
I go Colorado to come out of that four-team bracket.
To me, Colorado and Vegas are going to be quick series, but that's just me.
Okay.
All right. How about the one that begins, I think, you know, like next weekend or something? I don't know when the Jets and the Oilers are going to start. It's like the middle of next week. But Winnipeg and Edmonton.
I don't think it'll be close. I think Edmonton will finally get it together here and take care of Winnipeg. I like them.
You've got Edmonton.
Six or less. Five or six, I'm going to say. I'll take Edmonton. I just feel like this will be a big series for Edmonton to get going. They were shockingly disposed of by the Blackhawks in the play-in last year, in the qualifying round, in the bubble. I could not believe that was happening. But I think the Oilers are a better team than the Jets.
I'm too going to go Edmonton. I don't love it, but I'm going to go Edmonton. Elijah, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go Edmonton too. Connor Hellebuyck hasn't played as well towards the end of the season to give me confidence that he can steal some of these games. And it's a start to pick against McDavid and Draisaitl. Those two of the best dudes in the sport. Got to go Edmonton. I like Willie. I just don't see them doing what they did last year and flaming out against a team they're much better than. Don't see that happening 2 years in a row.
Even when the Jets are at their best, they still lean on Hellebuyck a lot. And that's a dangerous game to play when you're playing the Oilers. Now, we know Winnipeg, they got some firepower up front. You know, they still got Scheifele. They still got all those guys that we remember when they were in the Predators division. But the Jets haven't played real well. And now you're going to just say Hellebuyck steal us the series. I just think the Oilers will outgun them if they need to.
Leafs hosting the Canadiens. That series starts next Thursday. I'm not even kidding. It's almost a week away. They're game one. So Toronto hosting Montreal. I will go Toronto, and no worries about it. They're going to.
No demons?
No demons. They get it done. Willie, what do you got?
I just don't want to count out Carey Price.
Well, don't do it. Are you picking Montreal?
I want to.
But you're not going to.
I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Man, something tells me, though, this one's going to go seven. There is going to be some serious pressure on the Maple Leafs.
Elijah, what say you?
I kind of want to go Canadians, too, but I don't know if I have the guts to do it. Kind of like Darren with the Tampa and Florida series. Want to pick a big upset somewhere because you know it's going to happen.
I know. That's why I don't love my picks because I know the upset's going to happen. It always does.
Yeah, and this would be the most Toronto thing to possibly happen. Man, the Leafs are so good.
And the thing about their fans is they've already foreseen it. They've already in their mind said, "Oh my gosh, what's going to happen?"
Here
we go again. Yeah. Before they've even lost a game.
Man. You know what? I'm going to be that guy. I'll go Canadians against everything that my brain tells me. Maple Leafs written down here. Something crazy's got to happen. And maybe this is the Carey Price resurgence. I'm not completely sold, but maybe. I think this could be it. I liked how Tyler Toffoli's played this year. They haven't looked too bad. Something crazy like this always happens. And so I want to pick on the team in the franchise most susceptible for this to happen to, and that's okay. The Maple Leafs.
So you got
remember
bullied,
how well
you got
they
bullied
played.
Into that pick.
Remember how well Montreal played in the bubble last year. They played very, very well.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Totally beat the Pens.
Got to speed it up. Dan Rosen and Roman Josi coming up in the final hour. So finally, the big one here. It starts Monday in Raleigh, Hurricanes and Predators. Elijah, what do you got?
I like the Canes. They're pretty good. Five or six games. Pred's a great way to end the season, but Hurricanes are too loaded.
Yeah, I'm going to have to see this one to believe it. I picked the Predators over Arizona last year. It didn't work out. I picked them over Dallas the year before. It didn't work out. And like we've said, the upsets are going to happen. Just not sure which ones. I need to see it to believe it. Do I think they can give them a very good series? Yes, I think it's going to be a fun series. I think it'll be interesting twists and turns to it. But ultimately, asking them to beat this Carolina team, who I think can make a very, very deep run four times in a seven-game series, is probably a tall order, especially knowing Game 7 would be back in Raleigh. So ultimately, I'll have to see it to believe it, want to be wrong, but we have to pick who's going to win the series, and I'm going to take Carolina.
I'm waiting for the page where it's all logos of the Canes and not one Predator logo on there. It's coming. It's coming.
You mean all the national picks?
Yeah. I mean, I was on
We've seen that before.
I was on the Sirius XM NHL channel. The guys were talking about it. They said 80%. Canes, they were, you know, putting percentages, right? Mm-hmm. You know, Dom Lucision has, you know, 60, you know, just strictly by the numbers, two-thirds, one-third. They're a huge underdog. There's just no way around it. But I'm going to go down with the ship. I got to go. Got to go, Preds. Come on.
Okay.
Got to go.
Hope you're right.
I'll go down with it.
Why do you need to go down? I mean,
I'll go down.
How about you just go, you be right. Nothing about going down. Be right.
I got to believe.
All right. Those are our picks. We'll have to get Chase to text us when he lands in Dover. We'll come back. Dan Rosen to begin the final hour of the program. That's next.